move away from Major League Soccer and the US sports for the moment, though, because it is a big Bundesliga day today. Delighted to say that we have our guest ready and waiting for us to here to join us today on the Friday edition of the show. He is the one, the only man to talk a lot of Bundesliga football with, and also hark back to a little bit of England-Germany as well from earlier in the week. It's a man we haven't had on the show for a very long time, and I'm delighted to say to welcome him back to the WFD airwaves, our good friend, Mr. Ross Dunbar, joining us here on WFD. Ross, mate, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. How you been, my man?
Very well. Thanks for having me on.
It's always a pleasure to chat with the experts, especially before big games like this one in Germany this week. Before we get into that, just a brief assessment, if you will, from a German perspective of what took place at Wembley on Tuesday night. It wasn't the grandest performance by them, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think there was a couple of interesting pieces in the media about the rivalry itself, but I think for Yogi Löw it was more an opportunity to assess what sort of options he had at his disposal. Remember, obviously, Germany were without Philipp Lahm and Bastian Schweinsteiger, who are obviously going to be so influential at the World Cup. So I'm not sure there's much to read into it yet. I think the Italy game was a little bit more of a challenge, trying to right the wrong psychologically of what happened in Poland and Ukraine last summer. But I think anyone over England from a German point of view is obviously very well appreciated.
Do you think, though, that rivalry, does it mean as much on the German side as it does to the English? Because there was so much build-up about it before the game, even though it was a friendly. Does it matter in the same way across the other side of the channel in mainland Europe?
To be honest, whenever I've been in Germany, it's never been a massive deal. I'm not saying that as a Scotsman trying to create the rivalry between England and Scotland, but you know they tend to be more club focused anyway. You know, they tend to have the same attitude that we have back in the UK, that is club over country, and I don't think the national team, especially against England, has that sort of significance. Obviously, if they win on Wembley soil, then it's a completely different kettle of fish, but I don't think they go out to try and create a massive rivalry like it is on the other side of the channel, where I think the English certainly see the Germans as the big rivalry in Europe.
I mean, that's weird. Why is Wembley such an important place? Is it because of 66, without trying to bring up, you know, the one time that England won the World Cup and all that sort of thing? But is there part of that because of what happened in 66, and they just want to kind of to exercise those demons whenever they go to Wembley?
I think it's the fact that it's just such an iconic venue. I mean, when you look at Germany, for example, I mean, I can't really think of a stadium in Germany where the Germans would see as home as England do with Wembley. I mean, even when obviously Chile went to Wembley and won by two goals, when Scotland went there, there's something quite romantic about going to Wembley and playing against the English, who are obviously the custodians of the beautiful game. I'm not sure whether the Germans are still looking to right the wrongs of 66, because they've been to Wembley and won many times since. I mean, I think they won the last game at the old Wembley, if I'm right. So I mean, I think it's more just a battle of superiority. I mean, Germany and England are probably two of the healthiest sort of countries in Europe when it comes to football. I think there's now a Premier League versus Bundesliga sort of rivalry beginning to emerge. So I think it's probably more to do with that as opposed to, you know, the national rivalry of trying to try and get over the demons of 66.
What are the expectations of this national side going towards Brazil 2014? Because there's always a lot of, and there has been for the last few major tournaments, of talk about Germany and how they should be winning a World Cup or a European Championship with the squad that they've got. Yet there's always some sort of holdback, something that stops them from being able to get through it. Last time it was Mario Balotelli, for instance, in the Euros. Is expectation falling slightly for this national side, or is it all still as hyped up as it has been in previous years?
Yeah, I think certainly from what I gather, they want to go to Brazil and win it. I mean, I think when you compare them to other countries in Europe, I think there's still a lot of question marks about maybe Spain and obviously about France, who just qualified. The Dutch are going there with a bit of confidence, but I think the Germans would still certainly think that they can go there and win. I mean, their squad is filled with an array of talents. I mean, they've got such an incredible depth, and I think there's been a lot of pressure, especially in the mainstream press, towards Yogi Löw, that, you know, he has to get this one right, because I think, especially in the last Euros, there was a lot of question marks over certain performances, certain selections. I mean, they weren't as great as they were in South Africa in the last major championship. So I think certainly from their point of view, there's a little bit of pressure to try and right the wrongs of especially what happened against Italy in the last Euros.
It's always a hot topic, international football, especially after, of course, the international break. But we're moving now back into domestic football, and what a way to kick back into the domestic game with Munich taking on Dortmund this weekend. Does the international break affect these two in any way, shape or form going into it?
I think certainly in both cases, I think there's certainly instances where you would say that the international break might have an impact. Although I must admit I'm a bit of a traditionalist that, you know, having to play two games in 3 or 4 days isn't really that big a deal. But I suppose the intensity of a match, you know, between Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich, there's going to be maybe mental fatigue coming into it. It would be interesting to see, you know, how beneficial the chance that Philipp Lahm and Manuel Neuer had to rest throughout the week, whether that would work into Dortmund's favour. Obviously, work into Bayern's favour. Dortmund obviously have key injury issues, and some of that stems from international breaks. It's just weird that they've scheduled this international break in particular a few days ahead of probably the biggest game in European football at the moment.
It is arguably, as you say, the biggest game in European football. The repeat of obviously the Champions League final at Wembley, and just 4 points separating these two sides in the Bundesliga table. Are you surprised that Dortmund have kept on the coattails of Bayern this season? Bayern haven't started to race away with it like they did at this point last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, there was a lot of discussion on Twitter as to whether, you know, Bayern were about to begin a monopoly of German football. You know, they obviously were into trying to sign Robert Lewandowski in the summer, and they managed to get Mario Götze. It was interesting to see the opinions as to whether Dortmund could recover. I mean, I personally thought that they would do okay. I mean, I must admit, I'm quite surprised that they've hung on as well as they have, because in recent weeks, Bayern have been absolutely outstanding. And I think many in Germany would see Dortmund as the only club feasibly who could stop them from racking up maybe 45, 50 games unbeaten. Obviously, now it's 37 games, which is the all-time Bundesliga record. And I think it's a fascinating game in so many ways. I mean, psychologically, Dortmund have had quite a good record against Bayern over the years. I mean, they went 5 or 6 games unbeaten when they were winning the championship. Last season, there was 2 draws. So it's very nip and tuck between the two. And it's interesting to see if Bayern win on Saturday, whether that's a complete knockout blow in terms of the championship.
It's the old debate as well, really, the unstoppable force against an immovable object, the best defence in the Bundesliga against the best attack. Does Dortmund's attack have the ability to obviously cause problems, but can it dismantle and destroy such a solid defence that Bayern have got this season?
I think it can. I mean, I think to use a very overused cliche, but attack probably is the best form of defence from a Dortmund point of view, given the problems they have at the back. And obviously, we shouldn't forget that Dortmund's attack plays such a pivotal role in actually their whole defensive game. I mean, in terms of actually taking the whole sort of Barcelona high pressing game to a new level, Dortmund have used their 4 attackers to great effect in terms of, you know, breaking up play, especially given the way that Guardiola likes to play, you know, short passing from the back, very possession based. I think it's going to be fascinating to see if Klopp moves away from his 4-2-3-1 like he has done in the past. He's gone for 4-3-3 with a more congested midfield. We saw against Bayern in the Super Cup match how effective they can be on the counter-attack. I mean, some of the football was as good as I've seen for a long time on the counter-attack. It'll be interesting to see on both sides whether Guardiola has learned from that, whether they try and suck Dortmund into certain areas of the park. I mean, Philipp Lahm has been fantastic in central midfield. So, I mean, it's certainly poised for a perfect game. I mean, Dortmund probably have to go into the game thinking they're going to outscore Bayern. Lewandowski is in great form. Royce maybe not so much, but certainly you can't doubt his qualities at all.
What's the mentality that Lewandowski goes into this game with? There's so much talk about him having all agreed to signed in January with Munich, and other people saying he could be off to the Premier League. Unlikely he's going to stay at Dortmund, of course. Does Lewandowski's head get a little bit kerfuffled going into this this sort of tie against a side that he's looking to play against, or is he strictly business? I'm going out and I'm going to bag as many as I can for Dortmund.
To be honest, it's difficult to say without being in the head of Lewandowski himself. I mean, he signed obviously a lucrative contract to get a pay rise for this season. I think it was somewhere in the region of about £3 million. He then came out a few weeks later and basically, you know, slapped Dortmund in the face, telling them that he's going to Bayern. Since then, it's quietened down a little bit. I mean, I think Manchester United and Chelsea will have their hopes up that nothing has been agreed between the two parties. I think in his head something has to come into effect. He has to know that this might be his future teammates. Is he going to be playing at 100%? You would hope so, being a professional, but it's difficult to judge given a lot of the PR coming from the Lewandowski camp, from his agent, from him himself. It's not really came across very professionally in the last 12 months, I have to admit.
What about the reception for somebody returning to Dortmund after leaving them? Does he play? Do Dortmund know how to shut him down? Obviously, they know him very well. And along with that, does he get a warm reception on his return back to Weidenfeld Stadium?
I'll put it this way, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes going back there because, you know, 82,000 people in that ground, it's going to be a heck of an atmosphere. And, you know, there was sections of the crowd that booed him when he played against Real Madrid. Obviously, he confirmed that he was leaving a few hours before, and it would be really interesting to see whether they think of the good memories, whether they think of the bad memories. I think in Götze's case, you know, he's probably seen as a little bit of a traitor almost, because I think in the past there's been instances where Matthias Sammer has gone from Dortmund to Bayern. Ottmar Hitzfeld, the legendary coach, went from Dortmund to Bayern. But I think in Götze's case, being so young, Dortmund have given him so much in his early career that they might see him almost as betraying them this summer. It's going to be interesting to see. I think he'll definitely start. I think he's, in the last few games, he's been fantastic. He's really found his feet in Bayern. Whether he's going to have such a pivotal impact in the game as an attacking midfielder as we saw at Dortmund, I'm not 100% sure. I think he might play maybe in a wide area, but certainly that is one of the fascinating subplots going into the game.
And just finally, on this tie at least, Ross, I think I know the answer to this question, but I've got to check with the expert, of course. Going into this, I mean, with Champions League football around the corner as well and big games for Dortmund, does that sway their mentality at all going into this game against Bayern, or does it influence Klopp's team selection at all?
I think at the moment his hands are probably tied in his back because, you know, he has so many defensive injury problems. I mean, his back four that he started at Wembley, Piszczek, Subotic, Hummels and Schmelzer are all injured. Piszczek is just back into full training, so I'd be very surprised if he's even on the bench on Saturday. They've obviously just signed Manuel Friedrich, 34-year-old defender, as an emergency signing to try and, you know, try and heal those wounds at the back. I think from a Dortmund point of view, I mean, even if they finish second or third this season in the Bundesliga, they'll be quite happy. I think the Champions League is where they want to be. Whether they've got, even if they do try to rest players on Saturday, whether they've still got the strength to beat Napoli and Marseille and secure their place in the next round, it's not really a guarantee. So I think Klopp will probably treat this as a massive game, not just in the context of 3 points, but psychologically between the two clubs, who are obviously, you know, they're vying for one top spot in German football.
Elsewhere around Germany, just quickly, Ross, before we let you go, it's Bayern Leverkusen just behind in third place behind Dortmund, level on points, of course, in the Bundesliga. They take on Hertha Berlin. Hertha, who have had a very positive start to the season, on the road as well. Is there a chance we could see a Leverkusen slip up? They have looked very strong at the start of this year, it has to be said.
To be honest, I don't think so. I think they are so consistent. I mean, it's interesting to watch them in terms of their sort of run-of-the-mill matches against Hertha Berlin, as it is at the weekend. They're not fantastic to watch. They don't have a real plethora of of classy players, but they're so strong physically. You know, they're very powerful in midfield, and they seem to just get the job done every week. And if they keep doing that, they might lose against Leverkusen. Sorry, they might lose against Bayern. They might lose against Dortmund. But if they keep winning these games every week, then there's a chance that they might still be in the hunt for a top two position at the end of the season. As you say, Hertha had a great start to the season. I was fortunate enough to watch them beat Eintracht Frankfurt 6-1 in the Olympic Stadium. They have some excellent players. I think we all sort of wrote them off at the start of the season as being one of the ones who we would expect to struggle in the league. But when you look at them on paper, they do actually have a lot of good Bundesliga players. Obviously, from an American point of view, they have John Anthony Brooks, who's really settled into that centre half role. But I can't see Leverkusen slipping up anytime soon, to be honest.
And they've got a wonderful informed striker at the moment, Adrian Ramos, who's really hitting his peak. Do you think either he or on the Leverkusen side, Stefan Kiesling, either of them could be attracting some attention going into January? They've both had excellent starts to the season. Kiesling, of course, with a fantastic year last year as well.
Yeah, I mean, Kiesling, I think, has attracted interest before from England in particular. I think West Ham were actually interested in him maybe about 18 months ago. So it would be interesting to see if he had gone there into the Premier League. But it's a weird one, the Kiesling, because, you know, he obviously isn't Yogi Löw's favourite. It's incredible that he's not in the national team. I mean, top goal scorer in the calendar year of 2012, top goal scorer for 2012-2013. He can't really do much more apart from maybe doing it in the Champions League, which he has done to an extent, but not to the same degree as what Lewandowski has done in the latter stages. I mean, I think Kiesling would be a fantastic signing for any English club. Adrian Ramos is certainly one that's caught a lot by surprise. He suits exactly how Hertha play. You know, it's going back to the whole idea that Dortmund have of transition. You know, they've got great pace, and Adrian Ramos in particular has such an explosive second gear on to, you know, go by a defender, and he's clearly been on the goal front this season as well.
Ross, I've run out of time, I'm afraid, to chat with you any longer. And I know you're a very busy man and need to get back to your usual business, but we appreciate you taking the time out to have a chat with us on all things Bundesliga, especially those top two games coming up from the weekend. Can you give us a score prediction for the Dortmund-Bayern game before you go, mate?
Oh, you've put me on the spot
there.
I think maybe unpopular, I think Bayern are going to win by maybe 3 or 4.
Not Bayern, Ross. Come on.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible, especially given how hip Dortmund have been among all the sort of casual fans.
It's the people's team, I think, Borussia Dortmund, of this rivalry, that's for sure. And we look forward to catching that game and catching up with you very soon as well, Ross, man. We really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat with us today, and we'll catch up very soon indeed, man.
Cheers, guys. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Ross Dunbar there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things German football. And, of course, getting into the big game this weekend, Dortmund against Bayern Munich. And a little bit of a catch-up as well on that England-Germany game from a German perspective. Can't wait to sit down and watch Dortmund against Bayern this weekend. Should be an absolute cracker indeed. As I say, 32 goals Dortmund have scored so far this season against a Bayern defence that's only conceded 7. Bayern still without a win in the Bundesliga against Dortmund in the last 6 meetings. Only Werder Bremen have 12 matches, and 8 matches have gone on longer runs.